What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Another beautiful, wondrous, stupid episode of What the Fuck. Jillian is off being Jillian somewhere. So I have with me from Thespian Talk, I have Gomer.
Hello, everybody!
And the cat.
Hello!
So you both said hello. You should have done something different. Oh, well.
I'm actually a little psyched up. I think this is the biggest audience I've ever had in terms of podcasting audience before.
I personally am very excited to be on a show that swears as much as I do. So
yes, there's no censorship on this show.
For those who don't know, both of my parents are sailors, so I swear like one.
For our first story, we're going to go right into...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, I sent you guys an article about a Walmart in San Antonio, Texas. Did you guys read that article?
Yes,
I
absolutely.
Did. Oh, God.
Love any story that starts with Walmart.
Well, were you as pissed as I was with these two employees that kind of, I'm going to totally buck the system and I'm going to be a badass, and it blew up in their face?
Yeah, it's like, really? You're judging your... You, first of all, you work for Walmart. You mean, desperation aside, you may not have the best judgment all around. Otherwise, you might be able to get better jobs.
You know, as somebody whose day job is in retail, this is actually quite horrifying to read. Like, I look at that and I go, this would never happen in a well-managed store. It is just, it was disgusting to read about.
What they are talking about is a mother was in there shopping. She is claiming that Walmart intentionally humiliated her when an employee thought that one of her $100 bills was fake. Rather than taking the little marker that says, hey, fake or real, they tore her bill in half. She showed them another one. They tore it in half. Then they called the police, and they made her stand at the front of the store for 4 hours waiting for the cops to arrive while telling all the other shoppers she was busted for trying to pass fake money. Then it gets even worse. The cops show up, test the money, and go, oh yeah, it was real the entire time. Then the coda to this whole thing, that actually this made me laugh really hard, the manager tried to give her back her four half $100 bills as an apology. And the cop had to make them give her two new $100 bills.
Yeah, if I was that cop, I would have done the same damn thing. Oh my God, just no. Okay. Pro tip, everybody, if you work in retail and you suspect somebody has a fake bill of any denomination, take the little pin, test the thing. In fact, even if you don't have the little pin, you can hold the dollar bill up to a light, and there are certain things inside actual dollar bills that actually let you know that it's an actual U.S. government printed dollar bill.
If you don't know what to look for and you work in retail, then fucking don't work in retail, because it's really... I mean, unless you're working with a pro here, it's pretty easy to know if something is legitimate or not.
Well, yeah. Kat, you said you come from retail. What's your policy at your place of employment if you suspect a $100 bill is counterfeit?
My store marks all bills that are above a certain denomination anyway. So the first thing that we do is to mark the bill. There are certain ways of getting around the markers if you are a pro and you know how to really fake money. But when you hold it up to the light, there's all these different little things that you're supposed to look for. And if those don't appear, then you're dealing with fake money. But if you suspect, you have to get in touch with your manager, and the manager will look at it. And then I don't really know what you do from there, because we've never really had the problem before.
Apparently, but at Walmart, you tear the bill in half and call the cops then.
Yeah. And in the article, it also said that they had gotten their manager, and the manager came out and tore up the second $100 bill, and that person will probably no longer be a manager.
I hope not. I hope that the manager, plus both of the clerks that were involved, I hope they all lose their jobs.
The thing that struck me as the strangest about this is, what would make these two employees and the manager go, I'm not going to follow procedure in this particular case. I'm going to try and be a badass and tear this money up, and I'm going to break her down to make myself feel better.
I don't know. That's just so bizarre that they would do that.
And she's suing them for intentional infliction of emotional distress. And another great coda to this is, she's not going for, like, I want $1 million or anything. She is only suing for $74,000 and change, which sounds like a lot considering, but 4 hours of humiliation and having a bunch of yokels at Walmart of all places pointing at you and going, huh, you tried to buy with fake money.
you know, we're telling people that she's a criminal, which I guess could be, is it libel or slander?
It would be slander. Libel is in print.
And it'd be pretty scarring for me. I think $74,000 or so would be, you know, just the right aloe for the burn.
Me, personally, I probably wouldn't sue for money. I would just say, you know what, just give me the $200 that you tore up, which in this case they did, and I'll just never go to that store again. They'll never get any more of my money. But that's only just me. Obviously, not everybody's going to think that way.
But see, like, to me, if I got humiliated like that, like the time I got followed around at Target because I was wearing a trench coat in the middle of summer, I was followed by an employee in every aisle. I was racially profiled as a white guy in a trench coat. Oh, wah, wah, me. I didn't sue them. I went on my show and said, hey, fuckers, this is what my Target does. You might want to avoid them. And I got an apology from Target for that.
Wow.
That's nice.
So see, public humiliation can work. If they publicly humiliated her, she should do the same back to them. That's the way I look at it.
Maybe getting this $74,000 and some change, that might publicly humiliate at least that particular Walmart.
And it's not like Walmart can't afford it or anything. I have a, my cousin's aunt, or no, her uncle, to actually be a lawyer for Walmart, like one of their big corporate hotshot lawyers. Him and his 15 motorcycles lead me to believe that $74,000 is like a penny to Walmart.
They're probably not even going to notice it, in all honesty. When I sued my former employer and we got a pretty decent settlement out of it, when we started thinking about it, we went, they're probably not even going to notice. That was not even a pinprick to them, probably. Let's move on to our next topic, which is somewhat more serious. A little bit of background first. Elizabeth Ramirez, back in 1994, along with three of her friends, who were all four were lesbians, and that is important to the story, she was accused by her niece, or two of her nieces, of molestation, sexual assault, Satanism of all things, and a bunch of other really, really wacky things, and she's been in prison ever since. Her niece, who is still unidentified because she's considered a sexual assault victim, at least in the eyes of the law, has come forward and said, yeah, I don't remember any of that anymore. I have a feeling we probably made it up. You might want to let my aunt out of prison. Does it not sicken you when things like this happen? They were convicted in a matter of weeks, but it's going to take them years to get their conviction undone. Is that not an inherent problem we have in this country? We're too eager to convict and not eager enough to let someone out or unconvict, for lack of a better term, when evidence suggests that, hey, they probably didn't do it.
Yeah, this does smack of some bullshit. It's just from the beginning, because the article is here saying that the two were 7 and 9 when the aunt and everybody were accused. Given their ages, I'm almost willing to guess somebody probably put them up to it, just maybe just from pure homophobia.
I would absolutely go with what Gomer just said, that when you're that young, you don't really have that much of a concept, especially in that time, of molestation and that sort of stuff, unless you watch an ungodly amount of television inappropriate for your age, which I guess could be a thing. But it sounded like from the article that there was a man in somewhere the father of the niece
that's now recanting had made sexual advances to Elizabeth in the past, and being a lesbian, she turned him down. So there's the theory, they have no proof for this part, there's the theory that he might have put her up to this to get back that evil dyke who turned him down.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking as well. I've even seen it in my own family. One family member would try and get away with something or what have you, and she'd end up accusing, like, another family member of molesting, you know, another cousin of mine. It branches out quite a bit, but that's where I kind of get the leap in logic to the kids being put up to it there.
Hustler did a great article in the 90s called Kids Who Rape Fathers about false sexual abuse allegations during divorce proceedings. The mom would tell Jennifer, little, you know, 4-year-old Jennifer, to say daddy touched her, and then not only does daddy have to pay her alimony and whatnot, daddy's out of the picture, she can go to her boyfriend, and she has full custody of little Jennifer. It's a really sick trend that was going around in the 90s, and now it's a little bit more open, I think. I think people are a little more willing to look at the situation and not immediately jump to the conclusion that, oh, they're probably guilty like they were in the 90s. Or, good God, the McMartin case. You guys remember the McMartin case from the late 80s? The McMartins were a family that ran a preschool. And it turned out later on, the woman was absolutely batshit insane. She actually thought people were molesting her dog and that the government was spying on her. She was a schizophrenic. She had accused them of touching her child. And then her child had got his friends to accuse them. And a bunch of people were accusing the McMartins of doing satanic rituals and killing sheep in the back room. And they had the most expensive trial of all time in American history until the OJ trial in Los Angeles in the late 80s. And it turns out not a single one of them was guilty. It turns out that the kids were manipulated by the psychologist. Like, psychologist was actually telling them at one point when the kids were saying, no, we weren't molested. She said, we don't want to hear no's in this room. We want to hear the truth. And she kept berating them with, we know you were molested. Stop saying you weren't. That to me is dangerous. That's what's wrong with the child psychology. That kind of shit, I have a feeling, goes on more than it doesn't.
I'm willing to agree with that one. I totally see it. Ugh.
If you guys want to see a really good TV movie, it was made for HBO, so it's graphic. It's called Indictment, the McMartin Trial, starring James Woods. Obviously, it takes a little bit of liberties with some of the characters. All the courtroom stuff is exactly word for word from the trial, other than the names of the children being changed. It will shock you to your core. It even opens with a disclaimer. This really happened. In our time. It's called Indictment, the McMartin Trial. You can find it on DVD. It'll kill you.
Mm. Awesome, because I need one more thing to watch and then bang my head into the wall.
Yeah.
James Woods won an Emmy for it, so there's that. There's that. And it was executive produced by Oliver Stone.
Oh.
So there's that.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours long, so it's closer to a miniseries than it is a movie, but that's a relatively accurate portrayal of the McMartin case. I think that's what's wrong. We, in our society, we immediately hear child abuse and something turns off in our brain, the logical part, and it's like, we must save the children, which I agree with, but they don't ever look at, does a 9-year-old really use terms like dagger and ritual and things like that unless they're being coached?
You know, it's been a while since I've been 9 years old, but I seem to remember when I was 9 years old, if dagger was involved, it was in the context of a video game. And ritual, what was a ritual? What, something you draw a circle and you become rich? What? That was my mentality at that time.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing just screams of coaching, and because it was done in this particular time period that it happened in, there was definitely, you know, I'm thinking there was some homophobic someone somewhere who just wanted to see this particular woman hurt, and they did a damn fine good job of it.
Well, and then the real stinger to the whole Elizabeth Ramirez case is not her, because she was considered the ringleader. She got her sentence was 3 times as much as the other 3 women. By the time they actually go through the process to get out of prison, they'll have served their entire sentence anyway. So even if they're completely exonerated, they served their entire sentence. That, to me, is sickening on a different level.
Yes. So that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whereas Elizabeth, she's going to be in until 2034 unless she gets exonerated from this. The others are going to be out in 3 years regardless. In the article, they also state that they're not letting themselves become bitter or angry about the whole thing. I don't know if I'd be able to say the same thing. If I were wrongly accused and I knew I was wrongly accused, I'm bitter and cynical now. Can you imagine what I'd be like if I were accused of something I didn't do?
God,
rot in jail for 15 years? Hell no. Bitter and cynical would definitely be on the menu.
Yeah, I actually have been falsely accused at one point or another, and towards that particular person who falsely accused me, I still hold a little bit of bitterness there. Not enough to where, you know, you could see it on my face whenever I see this relative. It's still there. So I.
Well, and then Kat brought up the homophobia, and they brought that up into this too, that they think, because I remember in 1994, being openly gay in a small community was still not all that acceptable. They think that the all four women that were accused were lesbians, and some of them were in relationships with others in this group. They think that there was an anti-gay bias, that there was homophobia during this trial, that's what led them to believe this woman sleeps with a woman. Why would she not molest her niece? Because isn't that what they all do, right?
Oh, yeah.
That is one of the one things. I've even heard it, even recently, where people would accuse homosexuals of being child molesters. It's like, what? No. They want to molest other adults, men or women, depending on who that is.
They don't want to molest. They want to embark in a relationship, a perfectly consensual relationship with. Yeah, there's always, that slant that, just because you like somebody of the same sex as you, that you are somehow a sex fiend and you can't keep your hands to yourself, which is absolutely fucking ridiculous.
And
yeah,
there was a study.
Several straight people that could never keep their hands to themselves, and I'll admit I've been guilty of that a few times myself. But
I was going
to
say, you're accusing your mirror.
Exactly.
Well, and then there's actually a term out there called. Have either of you guys heard of the term lesbian bed death?
No,
I have not heard of this one.
Okay, first off, it sounds like a murder porn. But
it's actually a punk band used that title, but the term existed prior to the punk band Lesbian Bed Death. What Lesbian Bed Death says, and this applies for male homosexual couples as well, just like regular couples, the longer they're together, the less sex they have. So just being gay not only does not even make you a sex maniac, you start to lose interest in sex after being with the same person for a couple of years. It's called Lesbian Bed Death, that lesbians actually have less sex after they're in a long-term relationship than they do when they're dating.
Gee, that sounds suspiciously like, heterosexual
marriage.
Relationships.
It sounds suspiciously like marriage. And that's my thing, is there was the homophobia, there was the fact that there was really no evidence in this Ramirez case other than the testimony. The testimony from the two girls was pretty much all of the evidence that was put forth by the prosecution. Oh, and the fact that, the lesbian thing already brought up, and that the girls were smoking pot that day. Okay, while they were watching their nieces, they probably shouldn't have been smoking pot. That's not 17 years in prison worth, I don't think.
They had also said in the article that they had done, a doctor did a physical exam of the girls, and they really couldn't get any evidence physically that pointed to rape, especially because they didn't even bother to do an examination of the girls until like 1 month later.
Right. Again, pointing to the slap shot investigation, that it seemed like more of a knee jerk reaction. Just the same thing with the McMartin trial. People were so outraged at the claims, they didn't even bother to consider whether they made logical sense. Like the kids, like in the McMartin one, the kids claimed that they got on a jet and flew to New York to have some of these satanic rituals within, the 4 hours that they were there, at the McMartin preschool and things like that. Nobody looked at that.
You know what it all screams of is the Salem witch trials. Screaming, pointing, and then a lynching.
Instead of a witch hunt, it was a lesbian hunt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I guess to some people is probably the same thing.
Only if you're a hardcore right-wing conservative, but then you're an idiot anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be talking about them a little bit in segment 3. We'll be back.
Hey, you guys. Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another. But today, I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Cig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day. My mother smoked 2 packs a day. And when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner, so we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks. I wish my father had this when I was a kid. Safe Cig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right. It's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafecig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the Safe Cig, because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the Safe Cig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code HORROR. That's right. Use the code HORROR, and you're going to get 20% off your order of the Safe Sig. And that's THESAFECIG.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get your 20% off. Don't forget to use your code HORROR.
Hart, have you seen this new collector intervention show on the Sci-Fi Channel? I know you watch a lot of TV. Have you seen this one?
Well, you know, I am watching a lot of TV, but the last couple of weeks, man, seriously, I have been knee-deep in post-production, getting ready for all of our new programming that's going up on American Horrors, because, hey, I don't know if the listeners at home know, right now you can watch American Horrors for free. Just go to www.filmon.com, FILMON.com, and you can be watching American Horrors for free on your Android, your iPhone, your iPod, whatever, your iPad, your iWhatever. You're good to go, man. You're good to go. What is this thing? What channel is it on?
It's on Sci-Fi, which is really kind of surprising.
Oh, man, Sci-Fi sucks.
Yes, it does, especially now that it's not actually Sci-Fi, it's Sci-Fi now, which actually sounds like a venereal disease to me, but that's a whole different
topic.
Yeah,
those dudes are lost, dude. I've got people that have been pitching shows to them, and I got friends that have done some stuff, you know, working with them. And they're really lost. They're corporate. They don't know what they're doing. Everybody's so insecure. What's the show you're talking about? What's it called?
Collection Intervention, When Collecting Becomes an Obsession. Centurist Cunt, who she's a psychologist and like an appraiser, and she comes in and looks at all these people that, you've got 30,000 comic books and you're a 40-year-old man. You need to grow up and join the real world. Your comic books are affecting your marriage. That kind of
shit. So wait a minute. So these collectors, are they guys?
So far, everyone has, yes. So far, every collector's been
a dude. How many shows have you seen? One, two?
Six.
You've seen six shows. Every single episode is a guy who has a chick who comes into his house and tells him he needs to give up the thing that he loves.
Yep.
So this nonstop castration of the American male fucking continues.
She tries to frame it in this way, like she's helping them, like the guy with the comic books. This is the part that got me more than anything else. She said, you've got all these comic books, and everything he had was relatively common, you know, on the back issue market, $1-$2 a piece things. She goes, sure.
And then if you're collecting your whole life, the books add up.
But she was like, there's no value. You don't have anything of value. She goes, what you need to do is sell all these and start collecting Silver Age. She made him sell 10 long boxes worth of stuff, and what he got out of it?
What do you mean, wait a minute. Made him?
Yes, she bullied him into agreeing to sell these 10 long boxes to a local comic book store in exchange for an Incredible Hulk 181. For those that don't know, the first full appearance of Wolverine.
40-year-old virgin, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound exactly like the plot of the 40-year-old virgin?
Yeah, as soon as he gets a girlfriend, oh, you need to sell
all
your shit.
All of a sudden, oh, look at all your favorite stuff that you love your entire life. How about we fucking sell? You know, you could make some money because, you know, I want you to spend some money on me. And, you know, people don't even hear what they're fucking saying. Okay, you've got a collection your entire fucking life. Hey, that's your thing, man. Do your fucking thing. And now some fucking vagina's going to come along and she's going to tell you, you know what? This thing that you've loved your whole life, it bothers me. There's something about it that bothers me. In fact, you know what? I think you spend too much money on it. This has happened to me. I've had girlfriends like this, guys. I had a girlfriend who told me she knew, this is before I finished The Garbage Man, okay? This is back in the 90s. I had this girlfriend I was head over heels in love with, and she told me, I've known way more talented people than you, Hart, who failed, so you should just give up. You should give up, quit publishing comic books, forget about The Garbage Man, and you know what? Fuck you!
What did she want
you
to do?
Fuck you!
Put on a tie and get a job at a used car dealership?
Dude, she wanted me to fucking button down, get the fucking corporate design job, work for fucking Mattel. I'm not kidding, Mattel. And, you know, be that bullshit guy. Because you know what it is? It's about them. This is nothing about the guy. That girl wants everything. That greedy bitch isn't happy enough with your love, your attention. And hey, guys, if you've got a collection, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what, man? Make sure your lady knows she's loved. Tell her you love her. Fucking do the dishes. Fucking make her some dinner once in a while. Fucking rub the bitch's feet. You know what? Eat her fucking pussy. Seriously, eat that fucking pussy. If it's too bushy, trim that motherfucking shit. Trim that shit. Eat that shit. She'll be a happier lady. And then if she gets cunty with you, cut her loose.
You can still have the woman and the old Battlestar Galactica figures. They're not mutually exclusive.
It's insane, man. You know, there's so many women that seem to think that in order for you to grow up, you have to give up things that you love. Honestly, guys, if you've got a woman in your life that asks you to give up things, it's the wrong woman. There will be a better woman. I should fucking know. I should know. He's saying like, oh, that's just Hart, you know, oh, Hart's like on the radio. Oh, Hart's fucking been on TV. Hey, man, half my mouth has been blown off due to an electrical fucking burn. You try hitting on chicks in a bar with these major fucking electrical burns on the corner of your fucking mouth. You tell me how fucking cool and how fun it is. You think I haven't been shot out of the saddle with a howitzer? It's happened. Plenty. But that's the way it is, man. You got to demand the way you're going to be treated. And Josh, how angry are you just watching this show?
You saw my rant on Facebook. I was fucking livid. I was so mad. The way I put it was, I want to get on this show. I want to verbally punch her in the ovaries on the show and expose her for being a censorious cunt. So I would love to be on Collection Intervention.
I will say, though, guys, I haven't seen the show. I don't know. I'm just saying that you got to demand treatment. And if people can't love, you know, I mean, it's one thing if you're spending all your money on bullshit and you don't spend any money on your lady at all, if you're neglecting your bills, if your life is in order and you're taking care of business and this is your pleasure on the side and they got a problem with that, then you're with the wrong chick.
Speaking of chicks, you posted a link recently to a woman that is all up in arms over the dead baby jokes. Again.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck, folks? I mean, all of a sudden, on Facebook now, it's not enough that you gotta worry about some backwoods Christian maniac having a problem with your horror poster on your page. Now you gotta be worried about some fucking backwoods chick who lost her baby, and all of a sudden now she thinks she can just decide what is on Facebook or not. What we're talking about, folks, is there's a mother in England who is furious about this Facebook page about the dead baby joke book that, and this full disclosure, I work with the author, Stephen Biro. I've known him a long time. He is the guy behind Unearthed Films, which has some truly lethable, evil, fucked up shit. That's Unearthed Films. Stephen Biro, B-I-R-O. Check out his book, Hallucination. It's a very interesting, trippy thing about finding the devil through better chemistry. It's a hell of a, this guy's a hell of a creator, and he's done a lot of interesting stuff, and he does the Dead Baby Cookbook and the Dead Baby Joke Book. And so there's this chick in England who's flipping the fuck out and trying to get it banned. But it's also people in America, too. And what the fuck, man? This is a private thing. I mean, why do you just got to ban the thought?
Well, and then she's actually trying to get the Facebook page removed. She's yelling at Facebook, and they said she's working with lawyers. I don't know if that means she's trying to sue them or something.
In the UK, yeah.
Yeah,
so
in the UK,
sudden,
to
we're
get
have
this
UK
Facebook.
UK laws apply to American Facebook pages?
Hey, you don't like it? I personally don't think dead baby jokes are funny. You know what I do? I don't listen to them. I don't try and get them banned, Hart. It's like that actually segs into the next thing, which is the rampaging Muslims in Europe. They don't like this movie trailer called Innocence of Muslims, which I said this in the other segment. I think, you know, those This Ain't a Porn parodies, those things have better production values than this thing does. Just as a side note.
I haven't seen it, guys. I have not seen this thing. I've just kind of seen the news and the commentary, and I've watched, like, Jon Stewart on Daily Show. So yeah. I haven't really seen this movie. I mean, what the fuck is
well,
it?
Well, the movie's not even out yet. They're rampaging over the trailer. They're
so
rampaging over the trailer
so we're
alone.
Not even talking about a movie here. We're talking about a trailer on YouTube that what?
The trailer is all about how Muslims start rampaging through an Afghanistan town, and it's up to the big-hearted Christians to stop them. And the whole movie is about how Christianity will defeat Islam in the long run. And that is just pissing the Islamics off. And the backers of Innocence of Muslims is a right-wing Christian organization. So it's got a massive message of stupidity to it.
So does it show, like, Muhammad getting raped or something?
Well, we don't know what's actually in the movie yet. The movie isn't actually out.
No, I mean
out,
the trailer. What's
no,
in the
no.
trailer? I mean,
the trailer's got Muslims, really bad acting Muslims, wielding machetes going through the town and really fake killing people. And then American snipers, you know, God wields my hand. And he snipes the, you know, the guy in the head and everything. The Muslims, they burned down our embassy in Egypt. They've attacked people in Australia and Libya and all over Europe. They've killed our ambassadors. They're saying,
no, wait, what else is in the trailer? Is that it? I mean, what are they
mad about?
It's
a bunch of bad dialogue. The trailer's 13 fucking minutes long, Hart.
But, I mean, is there anything else? I mean, is Muhammad depicted in there?
I know he's mentioned. I know he's Muhammad's mentioned.
Here's the thing. If we've got like this, like, okay, 13-minute movie on YouTube, and now you got a bunch of people going out in the streets and they're murdering people, saying they're upset about this trailer, and you've got people on America, on corporate television in America, calling the filmmaker an asshole, I'd say the people murdering people are assholes.
There are people...
I don't give a fuck what the fuck was made. I don't care if it's fucking porno crazy bullshit. You're killing people in the really real world over your imaginary bullshit.
And
that's wrong, man. That's wrong.
Censorship is being brought into this, too, and for once, the corporations are on the correct side of this. There are people demanding, because the trailer is the ignition point for all this, they're saying YouTube should remove the trailer. YouTube's saying, no, the trailer is protected under free speech. They've done nothing wrong.
Well, I got to tell you, man, straight up, this is the kind of thing that a censorious person is going to use as the wedge. It's the wedge to get in more censorship, which will in turn be used to suppress political speech. What will happen is you'll see videos of police violence on YouTube censored because it might incite political unrest. And you'll see, it's already happened where I've read about videos of rioting being suppressed on YouTube because it might incite civil unrest. All that is a chance for governments to step in and suppress political thought. This whole thing is just a red flag issue, guys. It's nothing more than a this hand to fuck you with this hand. It's bullshit. It's smoke and mirrors. And these people that are running around killing people, they wanted to anyway. You don't just go kill somebody over a fucking trailer unless you really wanted to kill somebody. I'm plenty fucking mad about all kinds of stupid fucking movies. I'm angry about all kinds of stupid fucking religions. I'm seriously pissed off that the leader of a cult religion like Mormons, a fucking cult like that, is the leader of the Republican Party. And that motherfucker, I'm offended by that guy. That guy offends me. He was born rich, and then he made more money by destroying companies and fucking destroying jobs. I'm offended by that guy. But I just talk about it on the radio, folks. You know, if you ran out and you killed somebody over this shit, it's because you wanted to go out and kill somebody. That's it. You wanted to kill somebody. That's
what this
is about.
You were just looking for an excuse.
Exactly. They're pissed off at America. They wanted to kill. They wanted to go in and do this, and it was just an excuse. And now other people are going to use this to capitalize on it for their own political advantage. And everybody's going to bandy this fucking football around. This isn't the first time this has happened. It won't be the last, because we're going to have to wrestle how our freedom in our free country impacts countries that don't have freedom.
But what it really comes down to is the political speech and political thought issue you brought up earlier, Hart. Because this is, like I said, the ignition point for what they're calling the ignition of the violence, they're going to go, well, the next time someone tries to make a movie with Muslims in it, maybe we won't allow the trailer there. Maybe the studio will say, we don't want Muslims in your movie. We don't want that. If nothing else, it'll be censorious as a trickle-down effect.
It really will be, guys. I mean, there's a lot of shady shit going down in this country right now, in our own America, and people are going to use this to distract you about it. Like, right now, you know, honestly, I have this friend of mine, Christine McDonough. I'm asking people to donate to help her save her house, okay? She's a single mom with two daughters. They lost their father last year. He died of a heart attack. And now they're in danger of losing their home. This is a home that Christina had inherited from her mother. She just got 3 years behind in her taxes, just 3 years behind in her property taxes. And the state of Illinois has taken that and sold that debt off to a private company. And the private company wants that goddamn house, man. They want that house. So they're pulling some shady shit here. And so I'm trying to help her raise money to pay off her back taxes. And I wanted to thank some of the listeners out there. There's a couple of guys who heard about this on our show, and they've already made a donation. You could donate at www.gofundme.com/I6P5S Christine McDonough. And essentially, you know, if you got $5, if you got $20, if you can help out, I'm doing an online auction. I'm selling the shirt off my back, literally, goddammit. I'm selling paintings off my walls, and you could find me at onlineauction.com.
Imagine nothing. You will see everything in Arabian Adventure. Travel back in time to an age of sorcerers and genies in Arabian Adventure.
I grant you one last favor. A swift and merciful death.
An adventure filled with battles in the sky with magical flying carpets. Take a magic carpet ride to a land of excitement in Arabian Adventure. From AFD, rated G.
All right, now there's no way we cannot talk about the, and this is a really crass way to put it, but the Muslims rampaging through Europe right now. For those that haven't been keeping up, there is a new movie, and I hesitate to call it an actual movie because it actually looks like it has a budget lower than a Sci-Fi Channel original and acting about as good as a "This Ain't a Porn" parody. It's a new movie called Innocence of Muslims. So far, the trailer has only been out. The Islamic world has exploded over this. They attacked our embassy in Egypt. They've killed people. They've attacked police officers in Sydney. They've attacked people all over the world. There are riots over this movie trailer.
He said, it's a fucking movie. I got to look at the trailer myself. And I'm sitting here like, I can have better production values with my little camera, my pretty much shoestring budget, and could probably act better than pretty much all of everybody on the damn movie. I say, if you're going to riot about anything, riot about the horrible acting. My God.
I actually refuse to watch the trailer because I really don't have that kind of free time to waste on this sort of thing. But it just blows my mind, the reaction. Like, I understand. I really just don't care enough about what the movie looks like or whatever. I just really don't feel like watching it. I understand why they are reacting, the mentality that goes into, okay, this is in violation of one of these main doctrines of my religion. The thing that just fucking blows my mind is that they're taking it out on pretty much everybody but the people responsible.
I would be an idiot to say that these rioting Muslims represent the entire Islamic community, just as the Westboro Baptist Church does not represent all of Christianity. When you've got, these are the Muslims, these are the Islamists that are in the news, that are in the media, you're going to have your average Joe see them on the cover of Time or Newsweek or The Nation holding up a sign that says, behead those that insult Islam, and that is going to color how the average American sees the Islamic religion. There has to be a line where you go, you know what? I know these people do not represent me, but as a Muslim, I need to say, hey, fuckers, back off. You're coloring everybody with your damn magic marker. Stop it.
Yeah.
And I think totally. There are people out there who are trying to, you know, I've seen a couple of pictures floating around of people saying, hey, these people don't represent all of us. You know, we don't think like this. I mean, I've seen pictures going around. And so it's good that there are people out there who are doing this. But it's just unfortunate that they're not getting the kind of media attention that I think they need to be getting.
You see this in other religions as well, but at least in the media, you see this much more with the Islamists. The whole threatening death because you insulted us. Remember the Danish cartoonist? Remember the South Park episode? You've got this.
Yes.
You don't see Christians actually killing Muslims when they get mad at something that an imam says about them. But imams are willing to kill the Christians. You insulted Muhammad, off with his fucking head. They go all Queen of Hearts on him.
Christians won't kill you. They'll just ban you from ever doing anything else again in this country.
They'll bomb abortion clinics, though.
Oh, yeah, because...
Just put that out there. Yeah.
But that's Christians killing Americans and white folks. That's different.
But it's the concept that Christians are willing to do extreme, extreme things if you violate their religion. So it's kind of, you know, it's not totally the same thing, but it's just to say, hey, Christians can do dumb shit too.
Absolutely.
They're just doing it based on skin color or...
But then there's an even bigger issue embedded in all this. At what point has it gone too far? A friend of mine recently said, we're at war with Islam. And I said, not really. If this keeps escalating, and over the week that this has happened, it has escalated probably about 300 to 400% from the initial Egyptian riot. If this keeps escalating, we might very well be at war with sort of an abstract concept.
Oh, you mean like the war on terror?
That's even more of an abstract concept. I mean something like even worse racial profiling. It might get to the point, especially if this does spread into America, although technically when they attacked our embassies and stuff, that's American soil, but that's a technicality. If this spreads into the continental United States, I can see almost World War II era Japanese concentration camps, or sorry, internment camps, popping up again and them going, all Muslims are now a potential threat. And if Bush was in office, I guarantee that would have already happened.
Most likely
would have. I believe that.
I'm just going to put this out there. Let's really hope that we can get pulled together and keep Obama in office, because I'm willing to bet that if Romney gets in office by the time all of this shit goes down, then it'd probably be the same effect that all these Muslims, oh, you're a Muslim. Oh, you just own this little shop. You're not threatening, but you could be a threat. Get on the train.
Yeah, I agree. The whole situation just blows my mind that people are thinking that we're at war with Islam, but Islam, well, these extremists, because let's get technical here. It's these extremists who are doing the crazy shit. And then people are just rallying behind that, but they're not the ones who are going out there and killing people. They're not very focused. And that's, I think, where I have the problem with it is they're just going out and like trashing shit without it accomplishing anything except to basically almost incite another world war. But that's not going to accomplish what they want to accomplish at all. It
no,
has nothing
not.
To do with what they're talking about. They're saying, oh, well, these people, you know, are bad-mouthing Islam and blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, but you're not hurting them. You're hurting the wrong people. And it just blows my mind that they don't even see that.
There's another aspect here that I think is a positive thing that's coming out of all this. You're actually seeing some corporate backbone on Google's part. Google has been asked by numerous different organizations to take the trailer off of YouTube. For those that don't know, Google owns YouTube. They're saying they're not going to. If the filmmakers take the trailer off, fine. But they are not going to. It violates no law. They would have no recourse to take this trailer off YouTube. I'm actually surprised. Usually you'd see a company that would do the opposite. They'd immediately kowtow and acquiesce to what the masses wanted. I'm a little proud of YouTube for standing up for actual freedom of speech and going, no, there's no violation here. They own it.
But that's good for Google that they're, you know, standing up for, I don't want to say what's right, but they're basically standing up in the face of bullies.
Right, because that was one of the biggest problems that happened with the South Park episode. What happened? Immediately, Comedy Central went to Parker and Stone and went, censor it or we will. We're not dealing with this. Comedy Central caved immediately, and I lost so much respect for Comedy Central that they were like,
yeah.
We don't. Now, yes, Muslim extremists, I believe the way Jon Stewart put it was, with Muslim extremists, you're playing in kind of a different league. Because they actually will drive a truck full of dynamite through Comedy Central's front office and blow it up. Westboro Baptist Church probably won't if you make fun of them. So there is a slight different degree in the extremism.
Now, I can see that, but I also think, despite the degree, I think, you know, in Comedy Central's case, in just about anybody's case, you know, if you're going to deal with a bully that will drive a truck full of dynamite through your front door, it's a risk you're going to have to take. It's just on a larger scale, and you could end up dead instead of just with a black eye.
I've always thought that you got to do what's right by you. And if they chose to pull the episode, then, hey, maybe they won't all die. I think, yeah, you just got to do what's right by you. They made the decision, and it's...
But I also
I
don't
never really
like...
had a lot of respect for them to begin with, so...
But see, I'm one of those people, I can't stand to let a bully win. The thing I hated the most about the Comedy Central South Park incident, The people complaining got what they wanted. They got the episode censored. That pisses me off more than anything else.
The Cartoon Wars, the one that initially happened around the cartoonists, that wasn't the only one. When they hit episodes 200 and 201, seeing Muhammad and having to censor him and all of that. To the point where in 201, which is the actual name of the episode, not only censored Muhammad, who had been on screen, I don't know if they did it or if Comedy Central did it, they also ended up censoring the ending speech. Again, I'm thinking it's on Comedy Central's part. If I'm wrong, please somebody correct me. Those two, they also censored out every single utterance of Muhammad because they were threatened by Islamic extremists, of course.
I actually, as this conversation has been going on, it's actually reminded me, if you'll allow me to detract a little bit and talk about something anime related. There is a comic series that started online as a webcomic that everybody knows now because it's a very famous anime called Axis Powers Italia. For those who don't know, is basically all of the nations personified as human beings, mostly pretty boys. And then it basically sort of satires international relations, particularly during the world wars, as if the countries were people. When these comics were made, Koreans were livid about the depiction of Korea as a character. Basically wrote hate mail to the author saying that when the anime series got licensed, if Korea was put into the anime series, that they would kill the author. Koreans were so upset about the portrayal, like they couldn't take the joke that every other country seemed okay with, that they threatened to kill the guy who created it. Korea just never ended up in the series at all.
And see, again, the bad guy won.
Well, while the bully did win in this case, I like to think that it was done because there are much, much broader implications of getting Koreans pissed off at the Japanese, because there are such tensions going on between these two countries that something like that could really actually damage the diplomatic relations. I mean, it's stupid, but it really could happen because that's the way it works in Asia right now.
And see, I think part of the problem with the whole war on Islam thing that some pundits are already declaring that it's all of Islam that we're, you know, America's now at war at, is the fact that Islam is not a country. It's not a specific location. It's an ideology. How do you accurately combat an ideology?
You don't accurately combat it. It goes back to the whole internment camp thing, basically. If you're Islamic, they put you away until you either die or you convert to Christianity.
Well, what America would do is assign countries as, you know, Islamic countries, and then we would just bomb the shit out of them, because that's what America's good at.
Take it back a step further to go all George Carlin. Your country's full of brown people? Bomb it.
Exactly. And then I wouldn't be surprised if all of these supposedly Islamist countries we're supposedly supposed to be at war with just happen to have something we want.
Oil? Yeah. Like maybe a copious amounts of oil fields. Funny that, huh? At the time we're recording this, things are bad. By the time you hear this next week, it may be far worse. I hope it's going to be better. Really am not going to kid myself that it's going to be, though, huh?
No, I'm typically more optimistic than most, and even my optimism is really stretched in here.
I'm going to take the optimistic route and say that as long as the dumbass fucking Republican people who are trying to run for office right now keep their fucking mouths shut, I at least hope that cooler heads will prevail, and that I want to say that Islamic leaders are probably going to step up and tell their people to calm their tits.
Before we take off, this is usually where Jillian and I sign out. Do you guys want to tell us a little bit about Thespian Talk and about yourselves?
Well, Thespian Talk is a current events show, obviously hosted by me. And for those who inevitably ask, Thespian Talk is called Thespian Talk because my full stage name, if you will, is Gomer the Ranting Thespian, which is a mouthful to introduce, but after I don't know how many episodes I've done by this point, I'll have to go back and recount, you tend to get used to it. We discuss current events, we do a few shout-outs every show. Recently added a segment I call Focus Point, where we take something that's happened in the world or a particular news story, and we just talk about that a little bit more in depth than most of my other news stories. And if we have a special guest on, we give them a little interview to kind of round out the show.
I am one of the rotating co-hosts. I think I was invited. When was I invited to be a co-host?
Wow, I think it was...
It was like in the spring or something, so...
It was, yeah.
I'm still fairly new to the Thespian Talk series, but I have been doing Nerd to the Third Power podcast on thatguywiththeglasses.com since 2009, so that's actually a long time. And Nerd to the Third is a new a geek news and discussion program, so we'll typically talk about, you know, the latest in anime news and video gaming news and that sort of stuff, and then we'll have a discussion about something nerdy. And that is what I do.
My email address that I'll put out there for more professional and show purposes, it can be reached at rtgomerprod, rtgomerprod at gmail.com. And if you want to check out Thespian Talk or any of the other stuff that I've put up there or stuff by other producers, because I am a what I call a conglomerate site where we have more than just me producing stuff for the site. All of that is at rtgomer.com.
And if anybody wants to email me, which actually nobody really ever does, I'm at kat@channelawesome.com. I did just get a Twitter, like my own Twitter, for the first time ever. So I'm super excited. If you want to follow me on Twitter, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, it's twitter.com/labyrinthcat. And if you want to check out my other podcast that isn't Thespian Talk, go to thatguywiththeglasses.com/podcasts/3rd.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact me at 1201beyond@gmail.com. My weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin. My monthly column, Shadows of Pop Culture, blah, blah, blah. You guys have heard all this. Good night.
Bye.
Ciao.
Is it nuclear war?